from deep inside your radio.
Boy, this was a tight one, ladies and gentlemen. No, don't get excited. It was just getting the show on the air. There were guys here making arrangements and making new arrangements just right up until the last minute. Very exciting. Ladies and gentlemen, starting off, because it's going to get grim, you know that, a couple of items from the lighter side of the file, don't you know, the file pile. You've seen those commercials that try to make marijuana smokers feel guilty for funding terrorists. The two guys in the restaurant, the one thoughtful dark-haired guy, he likes to smoke pot, but he doesn't want to fund terrorists, but he's not sure that he really is. And his friend, slightly older, a little condescending, yeah, big problem. Big, real complicated problem. No drugs, no drug customers, no drug money, no drug money, no drug pushers, no drug pushers, no drug terrorists, no drug... Dark-haired guy ends the commercial. Not so complicated. Goes back and eats lunch. Probably won't smoke pot that afternoon. You probably also know Arianna Huffington and her associates have developed a series of similar commercials tying SUVs to support of Saddam Hussein because, of course, they consume a lot of oil. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, something else you might not want to consume if you really think about the long-term chain of custody of the funds that you'll provide. On the BBC today, and talk about burying the lead. This is like way, way down in their newscast. Just apropos of something else, they happen to mention this fact. 90% of the world's caviar trade is controlled by the Russian mafia. That's right. Every time you eat caviar, you're supporting the Russian mafia. So you might want to, might want to think about it. Might want to have those domestic fish eggs. And, ladies and gentlemen, part of our continuing series, be careful where you use humor, because so many people get burned by it. So many of the apologies we've been dealing with on the Apologies of the Week have to do with inappropriate use of humor. So we're starting a new department just to keep track of people who get burned when they touch that frying pan, the frying pan of humor. Quote, are we supposed to pass a statute that says, please use common sense? Unquote, that's what Representative Marty Seifert, a Republican, wondered aloud last week after reading, I don't know what state this is, Marshall. Didn't indicate what state. Anyway, he wondered that aloud last week after reading that the state's welfare agency used $40,000 to have a comedian teach its employees about using humor in the workplace. The comedian is not named. I know a couple I'd suggest for that job, teaching the state's welfare agency employees about using humor in the workplace. And the legislature is upset. Because that may not be the place you want to use humor, or it may just be you can get a comedian for less than $40,000. I don't know. Hello, welcome to the show.
Rapping and the till it sleeps a peaceful lullaby. But sometimes I wonder why. Sometimes I wonder. Sometimes I wonder, people. Sometimes I wonder, wonder, wonder. Oh, oh, oh. Sometimes I wonder, sometimes I wonder, what in the world we try to do? Too busy fighting to read the right thing. What have we come to? Too much trouble.
As I said, this looks like a rerun of a bad movie, and I'm not interested in watching it.
No.
Thank you all.
Mr. President, this is a fresh live show. From the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to the show. That was George Bush, George W., President. Think of it. George W. Bush this week about the Iraq situation. I think that we'll take that as our text for today because it's so pithy.
As I said, this looks like a rerun of a bad movie, and I'm not interested in watching it.
Yeah? Okay. He likes the new stuff. I guess those comedians could work in the welfare agency. You think you're hungry? You should see my brother-in-law. I wish you'd get a job. We'd find out what kind of work he's out of. That would help. Help to deliver the joke faster. Ladies and gentlemen, Walter Isaacson lost in the foo-foo about Steve Case stepping down as chairman of AOL Time Warner just before it busts up and tanks. Walter Isaacson also stepped down as head of CNN because his work is done. But he gave a quote to the New York Observer that just tells you how much he missed the point. When you take the job at CNN, if you think this is the fight, you've missed the point. Quote, "That's one of the great challenges that newspapers, magazines, and TV face. How do you make quality journalism sell as good as covering car crashes?" Unquote. First of all, of course, it would be sell as well. Secondly, it never did. It's not supposed to. You're supposed to fight for the right... My God. Guy came from Time, spent 25 years at Time Magazine. That's what he learned. The challenge is to make quality journalism sell as good as car crashes. Closed circuit to Walter Isaacson. It never will, babe. Choose a different challenge, if that's what you think. The challenge is to get the people who own the company to pay for it with the money they make on the car crashes. Get it? Thank you. Do I have to educate everybody? Ladies and gentlemen, from Barron's, sent in by a listener. No, I don't read Barron's. This is apropos of the increasing success of reality shows, so-called because, of course, they depict no reality. This week, American Idol became the highest, most watched show in the history of Fox. Imagine, more people watched that than watched The New Adventures of Beans Baxter, even. Quote, "The reality show success has producers lusting for increasingly bizarre ideas. Barron's recently spoke with a West Coast producer who asked not to be named." Well, take that up with your parents. It's too late now. We're looking for a person of extreme wealth with lots of toys who's very eccentric, very philanthropic, she said. Someone who has everything except kids. Reason? To mount a, quote, touchy-feely program, unquote, in which 12 to 15 young, parentless adults compete to be adopted by a lonely benefactor. What? 12 to 15 young, parentless adults, and that takes care of the legal problems, and the other problems, compete to be adopted by a lonely, older benefactor. Which network would put on such a potentially tasteless but possibly high-rated show? Let's just say, says Barron's, it's one of Rupert Murdoch's favorites. Well, oh yeah, he has kids. Okay. Still, why don't you just let them be adopted by Rupert? Can I watch TV? Only Fox. Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, a new word, at least new to me, came into prominence this week in the news. Do you know about astroturfing? Has nothing to do with the Super Bowl. Astroturfing, ladies and gentlemen. It's tribute, first of all, to the marvelous power of the English language. Because astroturfing draws its derivation from the phenomenon of grassroots political activity. People here, down here at the grassroots, which itself is a cool phrase. Us responding to the people up on the hill, don't you know? Letters from constituents, such and such. So astroturfing is the fake, the faking of grassroots sentiment. That is to say, the blanket emailing of emails supporting President Bush in Iraq, to opinion leaders and media all over the country. And it works, except that people in the media all over the country have noticed that all of the astroturfed emails have identical language. So they don't have that randomizer set to 7 yet, the language randomizer in the astroturfing computer. But it's a work in progress. Astroturfing, ladies and gentlemen, isn't that exciting? We learn something new and disgusting almost every day. And speaking of which, it's now time for the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
Shall we start at the top? What do you think? You don't have to answer. That's a totally rhetorical question. If you find yourself talking back to the radio, seek professional help immediately. Ladies and gentlemen, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld responding to growing criticism for his recent remarks about draftees adding no value to the U.S. military, offered a full apology this week to veterans groups and their supporters in Congress. Hundreds of thousands of military draftees served over the years with great distinction and valor, many being wounded and still others killed. Rumsfeld sent to the American Legion, Vietnam Veterans of America, and other veterans organizations. The last thing I would want to do would be to disparage their service. This was in response to demands from those groups and lawmakers from both parties, angered by his comments 2 weeks ago in response to a question about legislation calling for reinstating the draft. Rumsfeld said he opposed the proposal, adding the draftees added, quote, no value, no advantage really to the United States Armed Services over any sustained period of time. He has apologized. He acknowledged that his statement on the draft was, quote, not eloquent, unquote. What he meant, Rumsfeld explained, was not that draftees added no value while they were serving. They added great value. I was commenting on the loss of that value when they left the service. By no value, I mean they had too much value. Okay. The Zimbabwean government has been forced to issue a groveling apology to South Africa, its most important neighbor, following an intemperate outburst by a prominent Zimbabwean minister. Jonathan Moyo, President Robert Mugabe's information minister, had described South Africans as, quote, filthy, recklessly uncouth, and barbaric, and implied that President Thabo Mbeki was unfit to lead the African Renaissance. His remarks had been reported in the state-owned newspaper. Well, what do you want, then? State-owned newspaper. Information minister, how would they get his quotes right? Mr. Mbeki was said to have been outraged, and with South Africa being the Mugabe regime's only lifeline in terms of power and fuel, Zimbabwe had to issue an obsequious apology. A foreign ministry spokesman said Mr. Moyo was merely expressing his personal opinion. Oh, okay, that's fine then. If it's just his personal opinion that South Africans are filthy and barbaric, then everything's fine. Zimbabwe, the apology continued, wishes to assure our brothers and sisters in South Africa that we respect the role of President Mbeki and to bring about the dawn of a new Africa and is confident, Zimbabwe, is confident that he has the attributes to fulfill this role. Filthy and uncouth. No! That's a personal thing. Do you know about the game of tag at a scout camp in Denmark, where children acted as Jews wearing yellow stars of David and tried to escape from adults pretending to be Nazis? That's good fun. The group of about 160 scouts, aged 11 and 14, included a dozen teenagers from the Danish-speaking minority in northern Germany. The schoolyard was turned into a concentration camp with swastikas on the windows. The local branch of the Danish Christian FDF scout organization organized the game last weekend, about 160 miles southwest of Copenhagen. Don't call it Copenhagen. They hate that. Jes Immer of the local FDF scout chapter told a tabloid newspaper that they, quote, may have crossed the line this time with a night game where Nazis chased Jews. The schoolyard included a sign with the German words, work will set you free, the infamous inscription over the entrance to the Auschwitz concentration camp in Poland. I don't know whether I should apologize, Emer told the newspaper, adding, quote, I didn't want the game to hurt anyone. May have crossed the line. Doesn't know whether to apologize. All right, we'll keep tabs on that. Jack Nicholson didn't talk much about his Golden Globe backstage. Hey, how about those Globes? He didn't talk much about his Golden Globe backstage with reporters, but he did talk about Nebraska rather than crow about his Best Actor trophy for About Schmidt. Well, why would you brag about a Golden Globe? Only 80 people vote for it, and your studio paid them off. No, I... He apologized to the people of Omaha, Nebraska, where he filmed the movie. Nicholson said he's heard that residents are up in arms because he walked around in his rented house naked at all hours of the night. Ew. Nicholson apologized, but added that he didn't think Omaha was awake at 4 in the morning. That sounds like a setup for the next apology. Dateline Buffalo, disgruntled police officers have delayed hundreds of motorists with traffic checkpoints at peak hours, leading the police commissioner to apologize. Checkpoints have made motorists late to work and left school children waiting in frigid cold for late school buses. The commissioner, Rocco Deina, said officers are frustrated over the city's decision to appeal a police pay raise. For those citizens inconvenienced unnecessarily, he said, you have my apology as the Buffalo Police Commissioner. Who is inconvenienced necessarily? Can we have that list? And we will rescind the apology to those specific people. And maybe the best apology of the week, Dateline Newport, Washington. Oh, this is the name of a county that I can't even begin to pronounce. Pend-Oreille County in Washington State. Thank God we're not on the air up there. Pend-Oreille County Commissioner Mike Hansen referred to Martin Luther King Jr. Day as, quote, St. Sambo's Day during a commission meeting last week, according to Sheriff Jerry Weeks. Hansen made the remark at the commissioner's meeting on Monday. When used in reference to black people, Sambo is considered a racially disparaging term, according to the Spokane Spokesman Review. I was slack-jawed, and I have been struggling with it ever since as a moral dilemma, the sheriff said. I feel I should have done something and maybe still should do something, but what? Hansen did not deny making the remark, but wouldn't confirm it. I wouldn't verify that, he said. I wouldn't even give it credence. I may have made a remark, but I don't think it was in that tone. Somebody said something about equating Martin Luther King Jr. Day to Christmas, Hansen said. There was something said in those terms. The commissioners were discussing the need to reschedule the Monday meeting when the sheriff heard Hansen refer to an unfamiliar holiday. I'm thinking, what holiday can that be? So I asked him what he said, the sheriff said. He looked at me and he said, St. Sambo's Day, and I was flabbergasted. Well, but there's no apology here. Yet. Although there is... Yeah. It's not really an apology. But it's a cute, cute story. And when you're lacking an apology, ladies and gentlemen, that's almost just as well. Anyway, we'll look for an apology next week from him. And those are the apologies of the week, a copyrighted feature. This is the show. And here's a cute quote in the cute file from President George W. Bush, speaking to some officials of other governments, concerned about the economy, the economic consequences of this war that may be in the offing or off the inning. Quote, the risk premium of Saddam Hussein launching an attack on America doesn't compare to the risk premium of removing him, Bush said. Meaning the cost, I guess. Saddam Hussein launching an attack on America. The maximum range of the missiles that we know he has is about 150 miles. So unless continental drift is happening a lot faster than I think, that risk premium, I don't know. I don't know how he calculates that. Maybe global warming is going to cause... No, but he doesn't believe in that either. The official quoted Bush as saying he wants to get any military action over, quote, as quickly as possible, adding this could have a beneficial byproduct for the economy. No comment necessary, huh? The L.A. Times, rousing itself from its torpor, reported this week from Washington the Pentagon is quietly preparing for the possible use of nuclear weapons in Iraq, including the possible use of so-called bunker buster nuclear weapons against deeply buried military targets. One of the few countries already signed up to be part of the coalition of the willing, countries on our side if we go to war with Iraq, regardless of what the UN does, is Australia, whose conservative Prime Minister John Howard has said he opposes any use of nuclear weapons in the conflict. Quote, if I thought there were going to be nuclear weapons used, I would not allow Australian forces to be involved. Full stop. Unquote. Minus one member of the coalition, I guess. Tony Blair and George Bush have privately agreed that any possible war against Iraq will be delayed for at least 4 weeks, during which time they will work tirelessly to persuade France not to veto the second UN resolution, to ensure that all military personnel and hardware is in place for a likely attack at the start of March, and to utilize every possible moment to win the hearts and minds of the American and British public. The U.S. is also understood to be ready to compromise our plans to monopolize the post-war oil industry in Iraq using only U.S. oil firms. The U.S. government's promise to hold Iraqi oil fields in trust for the people of Iraq is looking like an international U.S.-led promise to spread the spoils between U.S., French, Chinese, and Russian oil companies. If the French don't veto the U.N. resolution. Meanwhile, Donald Rumsfeld, cruising for another apology maybe, is... dismissing France and Germany for their opposition to the likely war. Dismissing France and Germany as part of the old Europe. French politicians reacted with fury after Rumsfeld dismissed the two allies. Roselyne Bachelot, the environment minister of France, said Mr. Rumsfeld was talking Cambron's word. Cambron was a French general who, when wounded at Waterloo, said simply, quote, merde, unquote. So the Bush administration will be working tirelessly to win the hearts and minds. That doesn't necessarily mean evidence. So possibly they could use a rousing anthem.
He'll rain death from above till our boys get bored from the lack of booze. Like when like turns to love, when Bush comes to shove. Oh, behind. Then Rumsfeld and Powell laid it on with a trowel. Said the oil is there, you get your share if you change your mind. But when Bush comes to show, even he's more prez than Gove. And 10,000 robo emails all agree. No Hussein can't lay a glove when Bush comes to show. Oh, Hitler's back in town. Neither yeah nor nix, so nobody can find that smoking gun. But Raghead or Fez, you can't compete with our prez. Always in control, even at the 16th hole. And who cares what happens once we've won? Oh, when Bush comes to show, we'll bring victory from above.
The times when you concede. And I want to thank you for having the kind of love that scares me. I'm no Sunday in the sand, I'm no picnic in the park, and I want to thank you for the way you understand when I'm a child lost in the dark, and I want to thank you for having the that scares me, that scares me. Scares me. I want to thank you, Lord, for the love.
Super Sunday around the world.
Here in Reykjavik, the natives tie gilly-colored strips of fur and ribbon to the street lamps that illuminate the long nighttime winter each Super Sunday. Exchanges of small gifts of meat or fish pies are commonplace. In the evening, children troop through the frozen streets, throwing candles into trash cans. The day climaxes at 3 the next morning, when lines at Finnish Dial-a-Sport are jammed with callers anxious to know the final score. And then to bed. For in Finland, the day after Super Sunday is Vilgafjorsk, or a normal working day. This is Bill Malone in Finland. We'll be right back.
Say, fans, from pennants to bobblehead dolls, there's nothing to thrill the Dodger fan like Los Angeles Dodger merchandise. And here's great news. Now, for the first time in 6 years, you can buy the Dodger merchandise that's like no other. The Los Angeles Dodgers themselves. That's right, the whole team. Just raring to get back in the playoffs after a half decade off. With long-term contracts galore, a management structure that's as famous as the farmer for its receptivity to tinkering from above, and, of course, beautiful Dodger Stadium. Still the best place to see a ball game if what you want to see is Dodger baseball. We're even including Fox Sports West 2, the best place to see a ball game on TV. If what you want to see is Dodger baseball. Plus a cable contract for the Clippers, so you can amaze and delight your friends all winter long, too. And, of course, as the Dodger owner, you'll attend all of the fabulous baseball meetings, gathering with your fellow owners in exotic locales to complain about player salaries. The Dodgers, of course, are one of the most storied franchises in all of professional sports. So you'll have a ball deciding whether and how to restore it. Talk about your antique roadshow. Whether you're a dyed-in-the-wool jock sniffer or just somebody with $500 million burning a hole in your boxers, the Dodgers are just right for you. Beautiful weather for every home game, a spring training facility second to few, and no matter what you do, a franchise that's a lock to be comeback organization of the year as soon as you take over. So come on down and take a look at the biggest Dodger dog of them all, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Just one small good faith deposit starts the ball rolling, and then you've got nothing to do but let your inner Murdoch come out. We'll see you at the front office.
Up in a sterilized room where they let you be lazy, knowing your attitudes are wrong and you gotta change, and that's not easy. Dragon shining with all values known, dazzling you, keeping you from your own. Where is the lion in you to defy him when you're this weak and this spacey? So what are you gonna do about it? You can't live life and you can't leave it. Advice and religion, you can't take it, you can't seem to believe it. The peacock is afraid to parade. You're under the thumb of the maid. You really can't give love in this condition, still you know how you need. They open and close you, and they talk like they know you. They don't know you. They're friends and they're foes too. Trouble child, breaking like the waves at Malibu. Shock to know you really have no one. Only a river of changing faces
looking for an ocean. You took all through your leaky plans, another dream over the dam, and you're lying in some room feeling like your right to be human is going over too. Well, some are gonna knock you, some will try and clock you. You know, it's really hard to talk sense to you, troubled child, breaking like the waves at Malibu.
I said, this looks like a rerun of a bad movie. I'm not interested in watching it.
All right, well, that's your choice, sir. But that will conclude this edition of Le Show. The program returns next week at this same time. Over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, on the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network, across North America via Sirius satellite radio, up and down the east coast of North America via shortwave, WBCQ, the planet, 7.415 megahertz. And around the world, whenever you wanted, at two locations on your computer, www.kcrw.com and www.harryshearer.com. And it would be just like astroturfing the world if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? All righty. Thank you very much. Email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. That's the address to get on the list for the very low-impact, fast-download weekly newsletter from this broadcast. No attachments ever. Le Show Internet Services by Steve Mack. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless. All disparagement of awards programs on this program is for entertainment purposes only.